What's going on?
We came from Eli. You know, last year, Eli, I think, had the best game of the year and his worst game of the year against you guys. What kind of goes into what Eli got to see?
Well, I think he's been playing pretty well and consistently over the last probably 10 games. You know, early last year he was, you know, obviously dealing with a new offense, and you know they weren't clicking early last year. But once it did start going, they played well throughout the entire season all the way to the finish, and they picked up pretty much where they left off, and they're doing a good job of protecting Eli. And giving him the tools to really protect himself. They're getting rid of the ball, you know, under 2 seconds, and everything's quick game. But then they still do a good job of mixing in the run and some shots down the field. That's the kind of offense when you have a quarterback like Eli who has the entire playbook at the line of scrimmage, who's smart enough to put the offense in the position to be successful. You know, you hand the keys over to him. He does a good job of running the show.
It's a different offense when Beckham and Randall are playing, obviously. What's a week like where there's uncertainty about their next game?
I mean, we're preparing like, you know, like they've got all their weapons. You know, it would be foolish of us to prepare like they're not going to play. They're competitors, and we fully expect to see them out there.
What stands out about Odell Beckham to you?
To me, the biggest thing that gains my respect, he's a competitor in it. And so it's not the plays where he's making catches or he's the target. It's the run plays where he's sprinting 30 yards to try to get a block on the post safety. The things that nobody else in this league likes to do. But he's a competitor, and he finds, you know, he that's what kind of gets him going, is those plays where he's blocking somebody and trying to get after somebody, and he plays like he has a chip on his shoulder. Yeah, I mean, especially in that last game that we played him. I think as he kind of grew into his own, I remember getting a pretty big shot on him on the sideline the last game we played him. And then every run play after that, he's trying to get me back. And so, you know, that kind of stuff from a person like me, that's what gains my respect more than, you know, making spectacular catches.
Malcolm, what stands out to you about the rivalry between the Giants? You guys get up maybe a little bit more for these games?
I mean, every division game is a rivalry game, it seems like, in the NFC East. And so, you know, you definitely – you get a little bit more juice to play these games because you have to see these guys 2 times a year. You know them, you're familiar with them, and so there's not much you're going to do to fool one another. It's really just showing up and seeing who can punch harder, basically.
Billy Davis talked about the fact that Byron Maxwell has been playing better each and every week from the start of the season. What have you seen in terms of, I guess, his consistency?
Well, I think Byron's one of those guys. He's going to play how he practices, and I think he's focused on his practice habits and just really diving into the details as the week goes on. I think he's feeling better physically and is showing up on Sundays.
That last game against them at the end of the season last year, when, you know, Randall and Beckham both had big games and stuff, how much did that convince you guys that, you know, things needed to change in the secondary as far as, you know, the guys were giving up?
I don't think that game had anything to do with it. I think if you look at that game, I think they threw it probably 50 times. So somebody's got to catch the ball. You know, somebody's going to have a big day. I think Odell had 23 targets, and so you can't necessarily look at his stats and say that, you know, we did a bad job. I thought we actually did a pretty good job of containing him, except for one play that he scored on. They took multiple shots down the field, and we contested most of them. I think they won their battles. But when you have that many attempts on you, the numbers are never going to be good. When you talk about overall yardage, you start to look at the yards per reception, and I think that's a better story. I don't know what it was, but and I think the whole season was probably, you know, you could look at that, and it was pretty obvious we needed to make some changes in the second half.
When you look around the division at the quarterback situation with Brad to come back after not playing for a couple of years, and Kirk Cousins and now Matt Castle in Dallas, do the Giants having Eli give them an edge in the division?
I don't think so. I mean, obviously he's probably, when you look at all the quarterbacks in the division, he's got 2 Super Bowl championships, and so you have to respect that. And he's probably played at a higher level than every single one of them over the entirety of his career. But, you know, I don't think I would look at the Giants and feel like they have an edge over us. Are you asking me which quarterbacks are who has the better quarterback?
No, I'm basically saying in the division, does Eli's experience in playing in two Super Bowls give them an edge over the three other division teams? I guess you're saying.
Yeah, I know, and I'm on one of those division teams, and so I would say no.
Okay. Malcolm, how frustrating is it when Eli gets pressure, he just throws the ball into the ground? Obviously, he doesn't like to get hit.
I mean, it's smart. You know, he knows that his team's success rides on his shoulders, and so he can't take hits for no reason. And you see his brother do it all the time, and his brother's a pretty good quarterback. And so I think it's one of those things as a defense, you want to disrupt the quarterback, and he won't allow you to get hits on him, you know, and that's smart. And so we've got to obviously be patient, and when we do get a shot, you know, we got to make it count.
What about Shane Green added to their offense, Malcolm Shane Green?
He's a versatile player. He's been around the league. He's great out of the backfield catching the ball. He's a little bit of a pass threat in the screens and things like that. He can also run the ball. And so they'll, you know, change up the body type that's in the backfield. You get the big bruiser, you get Jennings, and all of a sudden Green comes in there, and they run a little bit different package with each of those guys. So you got to pay attention to who they're putting in.
Malcolm, can you talk about Walter Thurman, the chemistry you guys have developed pretty quickly, and what it's been like playing with him back there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been fun. You know, he's somebody I think we compete against each other, you know, every day to try to pretty much see who makes the most plays. We get motivated off of each other's style of play. And we're both from similar backgrounds, corners that are now playing safety. But, you know, he has a lot of things that you can't coach. You know, he has a knack to get around the football, a knack of punching the ball out. And he's been making plays ever since he stepped foot here in Philadelphia. And, you know, it's just fun to watch him play.
How surprised are you that he has developed himself into a pretty good player at a new position?
You know, it's not surprising. I think our coaching staff does a great job of really putting him in positions to make plays. You know, they don't ask him to do anything that's outside of his skill set. They let him do what he does best, and that's just a lot of things you can't coach. You know, his responsibility on some plays is just rob the quarterback. We don't have a coaching, you know, tip for you to do. Just do what you do. And, you know, I think he's a couple of interceptions were just off of, you know, his own ability. And so when you have players like that, you just let them – you know, you cut them loose, and you try not to slow them down with scheme or, you know, dumb coaching. You just let them be them.
Well, I see some recognition for Fletcher Cox getting the Defensive Player of the Week award this week. What kind of value does he bring up front for you guys?
I mean, I think it's long overdue. I think he's one of the best, if not the best, at his position in the league right now, and he's been doing this for a while, and it obviously doesn't get as much recognition as some others, but from a guy who plays behind him, you know, my jersey's only dirty when I make it dirty, and so I don't have to, you know, our front does a great job. They don't let runs, you know, burst through to the secondary. They do a good job of getting pressure. He single-handedly really took over this game versus the Saints, where, you know, he's getting, we have 3 sacks and a forced fumble and fumble recovery. You know, those are things. He changed that game. Two forced fumbles. I don't want to short him. But, you know, that's not surprising. And it's something that, you know, we don't look at that and just say, oh, that's just a one-time thing. We expect that every week. And he's obviously a huge part of what we do on defense.
In watching the tape of some of this game, the extra plays were bad. Mm-hmm. He kept them out of the end zone for the most part. What do you think of the overall performance?
Yeah, I think you know, it's really 3 areas that we try to focus on defense. And I thought we did well in 2 of the 3. And one being stopping the run, I thought we did a great job with that. The other being turnovers or takeaways. And we had 4. Our goal is 3 every game, and we got 4, which is outstanding. And it's hard to lose a football game when you have 4 takeaways. The other is the X plays. And I think we had 6 plays over 20 yards. Which is way more than we want. Our goal is to have 3 or less. But we knew going into the game that, you know, the Saints were going to – they have Drew Brees. They're going to make some plays. I think they had under 100 yards passing going into the half. And then we kind of let some things fall through our hands as we got into the second half. So those are things that we're going to correct. And, you know, it was our Achilles heel last year, and so we don't want that to kind of get ignored because we got the win. You know, that's something that we got to nip in the bud early, and working every day to correct.
Now, you talk about turnovers. This team has 13 of them. I think it's second most in the league. Is that kind of been an emphasis this year?
It's been all we've been talking about. I mean, it's been more than an emphasis. It's our plan to succeed. That's what we want to do to win games. And so starting from day one of our offseason up until now, it's been harping on punching the ball out, interceptions, going after the quarterback's throwing arm. At the end of the day, we want the ball. And so situations like third down and red zone are really important, but turnovers will devastate a game. And so that's been the main focus for the whole year.
Getting back to the D-line, was it good to see Benny Logan get a sack? And what does he bring to you guys? It seems more than stats.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at, you know, Sed and Benny Logan and Fletcher Cox, you know, they do the dirty work of our defense. You know, the three guys are essentially responsible for six gaps. You know, they're getting double teamed. They're taking on gaps so that our linebackers and secondary players can just run free, stay clean, and just tackle. So when they get a chance to pressure the quarterback or, you know, get some plays where everybody's now focusing in on them, it's good. You know, and I'm happy for those guys because, like I said, they do all the dirty work for our defense, and they're the main reason why we're having a lot of success.
No problem.